Well, I'm excited to have my good friend, Brother Dennis Higgins, come and preach a message. First time he has been in the conference, but he and I became friends a number of years ago. I think probably 15, 16 years ago is when we got acquainted. Said that probably maybe might be longer than that, but we're not trying to calculate and remember. Of course, we're both getting old, so I believe it's 100 years ago. But anyway, he has been preaching for 40 years, 39 of those pastoring, and he has started 7 churches in the Philadelphia, I'm talking about some rough areas, South Philly and in Jersey, and the Lord's used him in a great way there. He's one of those guys that God's used in a marvelous way, and he's just a humble servant. Doesn't say much about it, but in his area, he has been, people know him there. And he has had a tremendous impact in that area of the country. And very well loved, highly respected by all the people that know him in that area. And I'm excited to have him. I love him, respect him, appreciate him. He's pastored Harbor Baptist, a church that he started in Jersey for the last 20 years. I think the 20th anniversary is coming up. But it'd be approximately 20 years. So I'm excited to have him and for you to hear him. And he has been a dear friend for some time now. And so I'm excited to have him in the conference. The Green family, they're going to come and sing for us. And on the heels of that, Brother Higgins will step up and speak or give us our second message. If I could talk, I'd tell you. Amen.
What a blessing. I sure hope that this afternoon you can come hear Brother Brian Sharp again at 2 o'clock. He'll be preaching at the Sons of the Prophets Conference this afternoon. Brother Angel's at 3 o'clock. Brother Coral's at 4. And then we got preacher boys in between here. This is the Bible we're going to give away to one of the preacher boys. We preached 6 of them yesterday. And probably have 7 or 8 more to preach this afternoon. And so we're excited about that. A great crowd. The Lord really met with us yesterday. It was really sweet. That last sermon, Brother Riggs brought on the will of God. There were several preacher boys on their face praying, asking God to give them perfect direction. But I love the old-time religion. Thank you, Brother Sharp, for preaching that. Get your Bible out on this chorus. We'll wave that old King James Bible. Amen.
We used to go to meetings. The preacher preached, we said amen. We'd enter God's house without the world on our mind, concerned with souls in sin. How wonderful it seems just to recall those good old-fashioned days. Now you may not agree, and that's fine with me, but I like the old-time way. I love that old-time religion, for it will never change. I love that precious Holy Bible, for it's always the same.
Yes, the road is narrow, this way is still straight.
You must be born again.
Christ still lives, He still reigns, and He's coming again.
Look around and many churches, and the altar can't be found. The Christian won't kneel with a sinner to pray, and they say they're heaven bound.
But if we live more like him and pray every day, the Spirit will descend. God's word will be heard and God's power will fall, and sinners will repent. I love that old time religion, for it will never change. I love that precious Holy Bible, for it's always the same.
Yes, the road is narrow, the way is still straight.
He must be born again.
Christ still lives, He still reigns, and He's coming again. I love that old high religion, for it will never change. I love that precious Holy Bible, for coming again.
Amen. Well, it's been worth every mile. Amen.
Trials I faced since I started on this race. There've been times it seemed no hope was in sight. There've been times that the valleys seemed so long, dark and cold. But my Lord has been there every step of the way.
Times I had prayed, and it seemed he didn't hear. Many times it seemed an answer would never come. Many times I'd grown weary and forgotten the prayer I prayed. But my Lord remembers and answers every prayer. Sing it with us if you know it.
It's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley that we've crossed. It's been worth everything that we've faced.
Every pastor, preacher in this room has been through verse number 3.
There've been many friends I've met as I traveled along the way, who have said, I'll be with you all the way. They have turned and they're gone, leaving me standing all alone. But my been with me all of the way. It's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley that we've crossed. It's been worth everything that we've faced in His dear name. And it'll be
how they do that the other time? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. This is one amazing conference. I've been blessed. You would say this anyway, probably, because you have to say it, but it's really true. Every message was absolutely amazing, Spirit-filled, challenged. I mean, I really was, my heart's been burning within me. Brother Sharp, I'm glad I got to go to Israel with you about a decade ago. But, brother, my heart was burning while you were preaching and teaching us today. Brother Coral, love you. Known you many years. First met you at pastor school in the old days. And glad I took Revival Fire and then had you in. And we got a conference coming up. You'll be there for our 20th anniversary. And thank you. And, Brother Angel, what an amazing church, amazing ministry. Your people have just thought of everything. Those of you who have rooms that they had for you set up, just nice. What little treats do you like and so on? Now, I'm from Philly, so I'm getting cheesesteaks every night. It's just been wonderful. Thank you so much. Flying them in. It's only like $400 a night, but it's been great. But I'll tell you, the music's been wonderful. And all the specials, my heart's just been excited. And Luke, who I believe is your son, I just met him. Song leading, tremendous, wonderful. And I have a lot of friends here, Brother Gomez, Kim, God bless you, love you. I love your ministry, love your college, and the rest of you too. And if I didn't mention you, it was on purpose. All right. So, you know, I get to do this once. They may not have me back. So if I can do something once, I think I'll preach on prayer. So I'd like you to open to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, one of my favorite chapters, the first 13 verses here, all of it, but those particular. If you've heard this before, you needed it again. So I'm going to read through and say a few words and then pray and so forth. But I believe the greatest thing we need to do as Christians, and I'm not just preaching now, I'm testifying, is pray. We need to pray. Prayer is so important. You know, here's a wonderful conference, but and this is a great thing, and we're being fed in many ways. But this is exactly the time when it's hard to find time to pray. Isn't that something? So my wife and I, we've got like a kind of a thing we do, and somebody goes out to the car, or somebody goes into the bathroom, or somebody stays out, because we can't let up. We're in a battle with Satan. We're in a battle with the devil, and he doesn't let up, and we can't let up. And we have great power with God. Every child of God has great power with God. And when you say, Father, He says, yes, my daughter. Yes, my son. He hears you. And good night. Look what Daniel did. He caused trouble in the heavenlies when he prayed when he was in Babylon and he cried out. He was reading his Bible. He was reading the book of Jeremiah and he realized there was a prophecy on 70 years. And he began to pray and to fast and to confess his sins and the sins of the people of God of Israel. And God said, Gabriel, take him a message. And Gabriel's coming through the air. But there is a powerful demon under Lucifer who meets him somewhere up there. And I don't know how that Star Wars stuff works. But he stopped Gabriel. He stopped him. That prince of Persia, it wasn't a human being. It was the spirit behind the man and stopped him. But guess what? He kept on praying, Daniel. He didn't get his answer when he wanted. He went on for 21 days. And I don't know what the Lord's doing up there. He's just kind of sitting reading his Bible, his book. Look, and he said, Michael, would you go take care of that demon for him? And Michael comes down, and that prince of Persia must have said, oh, my soul, what's going to happen now? And boom, and he knocked him down and told Gabriel, go ahead, take the message. And now we got the book of Daniel. Isn't that wonderful? So we're looking at Luke 11, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, meaning Jesus, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Let's pray. Father, I pray your Holy Ghost would continue to bless, Lord, You've been all over these services, Lord, and blessing the preachers and the music and just the sweet fellowship, Lord. I pray now, Lord, help us, teach us to pray. Draw us closer to Thee today. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We're just going to kind of exegesis and go through. So we look at verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, there's a whole lot that could be said on these 13 verses. You could write volumes of books, but I want to pick out just a piece from each verse or couple of verses. I noticed that Jesus was in a certain place. I want to tell you something. If you're a prayer warrior, you have a place. I'm not saying you got to have one, but I'm saying you got one. If it's in your home, and I'm traveling right now, but I have a spot where I like to meet with my God each and every morning. I must meet with Him, and I'll be there. I have a place. I have a favorite place. We've moved around a bit in church planning, but each house, home that we landed in, it didn't take long at all before we find our place. I have a place. Beth has a place. At night, I like to meet with my King. I like to tell Him how great He is. I like to worship Him and tell Him what a great God, how what a great Father He is. I like to tell Him that. My dad died when I was a little boy, when I was 6 and a half. But I want to tell you what I tell him. You're greater than 1,000 fathers. You've done more for me than any earthly dad could have ever done. Jesus had a certain place. If I took a little question right now, Sunday school, what are some of Jesus' favorite places to pray? I want you to raise your hand and speak like we're in Sunday school. Can you do that? Is this wrong? Can I do this? I can do that. There you go. Nobody? Yeah, there you go. Alone. He prayed alone? Yeah. In the garden? Yeah. Where else? Mountain? There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, he had a place. It wasn't like the Father didn't hear him any place. He had a place. I think of this often when it says he got up a great while before day. He's the Son of God. He's eternally the Son of God. He came down to this earth from heaven and he lived with humanoids and he lived in houses with them and stayed and they made him a little room when he was with Martha and Lazarus and Mary. And they probably fixed him a little food at night. He went to bed. He got up in the morning and he tiptoed out while they were still snoring because he, the Son of God, needed to meet with his Father because of the battle he was in. If he had to do it, how in the world can we not do it? We need to meet with him. Get a place. Even when you're traveling, it's hard, but get a place. And then also we pray not only we have a place, but in His will, and this can be difficult at times, and He said unto them, verse 2, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Not too many years ago, a few years ago, now I'll probably weep a little bit on this, but I'm going to say it, and I think I need to do it. God's will is not doesn't always taste good. When Jesus was in the garden, He said, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. I've heard preachers preach, and I always love when preachers preach, even if they're not completely correct. And I say amen at the right place, and I love them, and they just get a little carried away. Sometimes my wife say, honey, I think that was wrong. I said, I was only preaching. And they say, Jesus couldn't wait. He loved the cross. He wanted the cross. Let me tell you what He really said. He said, I despise the shame of the cross. The Holy One of God did not want to hang naked before the eyes of wicked men. He did that because His Father said, Son, they're doomed. They're lost. Will you go? And of course, you know the gospel. And the Holy Spirit came upon a virgin. She conceived in her womb one that we would know to be the Holy One of God, the Son of God. He lived the perfect life, tested, tempted every way like us. Then He died on the cross for our sins and He rose again. And if you do what I did, 45 years ago, Easter week. This is my spiritual birthday. It was hard for me to pick a message. I asked God, my wife would tell you, right on through this morning, I'm very emotional about being saved. I was a partying, bad guy, Philly guy. Hey, yo, get me some water. W-O-O-D-E-R. And We were married and we had a little girl, now married to a Baptist preacher, Independent Fundamental Baptist, hallelujah. And I got saved. Well, she saw the change in my life over a few weeks. She got saved. And we'd never been to anything but a Catholic church, Irish Catholics, 12 years Catholic school, both of us. Lord has a sense of humor. My family's still freaked out. Like, he'll come back. They always do on his deathbed. He'll denounce his Baptist faith and come back to the Holy Catholic Church. Well, my oldest daughter's the only one baptized Catholic. So we have covenant together since we don't want to, if the Holy Roman Empire kicks in again and they kill all the Baptists again, we're going to need a seed to continue. So my daughter Bridget and I, and we're going to pull out our Catholic membership and get out of the persecution. I know you say that's denying the Lord. We say that's like staying alive, whatever. So, but His will. He said, not my will, but thine be done. Three times. He didn't want to have separation with the Father. He could have called 12 legions of angels, not He could have called 10,000. That's not in the Bible, but it is. It sings better. He could have called 72,000 angels. And like, that doesn't even fit. You need the 10,000. Get rid of the Bible. Get back to 10,000. So, a few years back, we lost a granddaughter. That was tough. And we prayed with every parent, every grandparent would pray for healing. And I want you to know something. It didn't diminish my faith one stitch. If you understand and receive in your heart that God has a will, it didn't taste good. It was a bitter cup. But it's what God gave to us. A year ago, January, my son Sean, who was a bit of a musician, singer and all that, he was over in Tennessee, preaching for one of our young men who went out from our church who's preaching. What's one of the guys from the Philly area doing on Tennessee Mountain there? Preaching, Sharif, you've been there. And anyway, so Sean went down. He says, could Sean come down and Erica, and could they sing and could he play? I said, yes, he can. He's having a conference. And so they went. So I said, Sean, I said, Jay and Shannon would love you to come by. Why don't you go by and you could sing for them on Sunday and stuff like that. And don't worry about running back up. So he went there. And Sunday morning, he woke up. His Toyota Camry was smoking. It burned to the ground. His car. Why in the world? Well, I was sitting on the platform at church, and I thought, I'm not going to tell our people. That's all they'll be thinking during my whole message. I'm not going to get into that, so I won't tell them. Well, by that afternoon, my granddaughter Rowan got a fever. And before you knew it, she was in the same hospital where Savannah went to heaven. Well, she died in the house, but where she had been. Two rooms removed from where Savannah had been. Now, what in the world? What is God up to here? So we left. We went down there. They didn't know if she was going to live or not. She was sick. She was septic and all that. She was dying. So we're there, and we basically sat on the floor in that hospital room for 10 days. There were tubes coming out of everywhere. And I'm like, Lord, what is this? If it wasn't that you brought Sean down there, we're not from the South. We're not from Atlanta. Jay's down here. He took my daughter down there. Just kidding. And they're down there. But what are you teaching us? Well, I know that my daughter Shannon really had no pleasure to ever go in that hospital again. But, you know, my girls are, I shouldn't say this. If they hear this, they'll get mad. They're a little bit older than my sons. Let's just say a little bit. So my sons all had like three mothers. So I'm thinking, Shannon's like her baby brother, Sean, and they're over there. She's bringing the lunch, and her parents are there, and she'd come each day and bring food and everything. And she had to come in there. What's God up to? I don't know, but He healed one and took one to heaven. He healed one. After 10 days, it lifted. And now she's the baddest kid in my church. She's so spoiled rotten. Oh, this is being taped. She's almost saved. She's getting there. But God healed her. I mean, God's on the throne. Now you ask, but can you really pray, thy will be done? Do you really want His will? Let's move on. It should be daily. Verse 3. give us day by day our daily bread. He could have given us our bread forever. But He wanted us to come to Him. Hey, parents, don't you like it when your little ones come to you? Daddy, Mommy. But it's even more exciting when a teenager comes to you, your teen. I said your teen. Comes and talks with you, and or even older than that. Once they hit about 35, they know you were pretty smart. But they come to you and they talk with you. I don't know why God has us come daily to Him, but I know He wants to talk with His children. And He could just take care of us. We'd never have to ask. But He wants us to come and talk with Him. I love talking with Him. I love to hear Him talk, His Word. But I love to talk to Him. I like to meet with Him each morning, get my coffee. It should have caffeine in it. If it doesn't have caffeine in it, get over it and just quit drinking coffee. I mean, it's just something. Think about that. That's like being saved without the Spirit. You're not real. So, and this blood pressure stuff and all that, you know, I don't know. But I'm just going to keep on drinking it until they said, you want to live or die. So I had some good time. But I like to meet with my God. And it's an exciting thing. It's a thrill to me each morning. That doesn't mean I'm never miserable. That doesn't mean I'm never, you know, as they say, in a bad mood. Doesn't mean I never want to beat up somebody. But I know I need to meet with my God. I need to meet with Him. And so do you. So daily. Hey, and then we also need, you heard this, one of the other preachers mentioned, and this is really important, confession, right? Verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I remember Jack Hiles preaching about John Rice. They'd be on the road, and Dr. Rice would accumulate his sins on a piece of paper. How many ever heard that? And then at the hotel, he'd go in the bathroom, and he'd confess them. And then I guess he lit it on fire. One of them smoked. I still don't know which one. But he'd light it on fire and burn it up and flush it down the toilet. Well, I'll tell you, ever since the Nixon tapes, I don't write anything down, too, that's too important. I mean, to me, that's like dangerous. Dangerous! Have you ever been in these churches where they want to have revival and they get up and they all start confessing their sins? Oh, my. Now, I love them, and God's probably like, they're more righteous than you. Yes, I know. But it gets crazy. Thelma, I'm sorry, I hated your guts, but now I got that right. And she's like, why did you hate me? I was good. And then they start confessing all their sins and stuff. And I'm like, oh, my soul. And it can get really sticky business. But you and I, we need to keep a short account. As far, my position is set, but my condition varies through the day. I had a guy the other day. This is my test of life. I'm an old man that I think I can still fight, and that's bad. When I realize I can't, it'll probably help me. So this knucklehead, excuse me, Lord, I'm coming down the main road. He's supposed to let me. I've been by there 100 times. This dude shoots across, swings around, comes out in front of me. I got to sway into the other lane. Okay, you know what? I'm a good Christian. You know what? I didn't do anything. We pulled in to Route 73 going north. He comes up slow next to me and starts saluting me, cursing me. Lord, help me, deliver me from Satan. Blankety blank. I said, never mind. I'll be back, Lord. Down goes the window. I say, you a punk, man. You ain't nothing. You're the one. You're the idiot. I even found us a place to pray together. He sailed on across the bridge, coward. I was really dirty. I think I didn't. I know I'm not spiritual. Don't look at me. If you know whence I came, you'd be more patient with me. Nothing happened. I mean, the Lord protected me, but he was bad. I mean, this guy was, he was so wicked. He was real bad. Now I was being loving and kind but I know this is what I know. I flunked the test. Oh my soul. Dear God, forgive me. What kind of a pastor am I? If I were like a rough truck driver in the church, they might say, ain't he cute? But when you're the man of God, it ain't cute. And so I had Well, I grew up in Philly, man. You had to if you backed down, you became somebody's slave. I mean, you couldn't do it. You can't. So I don't know how. I'm thinking of getting a cane with a 45 in it or something. I mean, I've got to have some equalizer, something to go with me into the next decade. Confession is good. I had to confess it. I was horrified. And he was just, he's like, what happened? He was like possessed for a moment. He didn't even know he did that probably. What happened? He goes over to the bridge and takes off. Anyway, okay. Enough of that. Let's get back to holiness. All right. Verses 5 through 8, intercession. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and the children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Well, you've probably heard wonderful messages on importunity and all that from there. But I'll tell you what, we are priests and kings before our God. And we have a priestly duty to intercede and go on to God on behalf of others. I like this, that it's a friend on behalf of a friend who's a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I can go to my friend on behalf of my friends and pray before them. And God's given me this great ministry and opportunity. Folks, take it serious. The devil knows the power you have with God. He knows that power. Get a prayer list. I mean, write it down. I start simplified A, B, C, all the way to Z. I start Monday. Started this week. It's tough on the road. But I'm going to have to crash pray when I get back Thursday night, Friday. I mean, but I've got to pray for our people. The devil's coming at our church. The devil's pulling our young adults out. The contemporary crowd. And it's evil. And it's wicked. And it's a lie. It's the same old stuff. The new independent Baptists are just the old new evangelicals. There's no difference. It's the same battle. You got Israel. You got Jeroboam, Rehoboam. Somebody preached that and I shouted amen on that one. I'll tell you what we are. We're just like Judah. We're just down here, the last vestiges of what is left. And some of the northern tribe and kingdom, come on down and join with us. Those who want to live sanctified, holy, godly, separated lives. And God gives us people at Harbor Baptist. We lose some, we gain some. And I'm amazed. And I'm like, you sure you want to live this lifestyle of a monk? Are you sure? We have great talk to them and try to talk them out of it. And no, we don't. Let me tell you, I got saved out of my worldliness, as I've mentioned, something, my rock and roll. And I've been to all the concerts. I don't tell you which ones because I find when I begin to tell you, I become prideful that I went to those concerts. So I don't mention those. And I'll just say one of them just died recently. We'll just leave it there. You know who he was. But Beth, did we get in trouble for that one? He kept us out late, that guy. He was old then. How did he live so long? Anyway, but I took all my records and stuff. Took me a while. How much do you think I got saved? And 2 minutes later, I got everything right. But I put that stuff in a big old box and put it out in the trash. And I watched the guys come and take that music and throw it away. I don't listen to it in my car when you're not there. I don't listen to country is even worse anymore. I don't listen to that in my car. I'll play CDs from colleges and good Christian music like we've been listening to. I love music. I do play the guitar, all that. I don't need that wicked filth, fornicating, sorcery, wickedness. I don't need that. My flesh loves it. It does. But my spirit is great. And I got saved out of the world back then, 45 years ago, and God expected me to let Him clean up my life. And now we've got these so-called pastors and all. Oh, here's a guy, Stephen Furtick or whatever his name is. If you don't know who he is, yeah, he's got this big old church. So my sons, they keep me alert to this stuff. They say, Dad, you got to see this guy. So they take me into, my son Pat's our school administrator, into the office, and he's on the internet, this guy. And he had their strobe lights gone, and he's like rapping. And he's hating our guts. Us. You think you know it all. You think you got the doctrine. No, I could do it for you now. I'd get into it too much. And you think you've got it. You think you know it all, and you're so right. And you got it. Let me tell you something. There is a true doctrine. We got the doctrine. You have turned from it, and you're apostate, and you're just like the priest of Baal, and you're no different. Balaam is alive and well today. Intercede. Pray for your family. Pray for God's people. Pray for your preacher. Preachers, pray for your people. Pray for them. What an opportunity. What a blessing it is to pray. And you get to it, you're going to have to be praying all the time. Oh, like Paul said, pray without ceasing. We're in a war. I tell our people, and it's rougher. I can tell you, my son Dennis, he's pastoring a church that my wife, by God's grace, started way back 30-some years ago, 37, I guess now. And he's there. He's doing a great work. And I'm really worried about him. My grandkids just moved back into the city where I got them out of. And now I'm like, son, don't get too fanatical. Don't like be a missionary. And but he is. I didn't say that to him, really. But they're over there. And God's really blessing them. But I need to pray for them. They need God's protection. It's a dangerous place. It really is. But it's dangerous anywhere. Dangerous out in the country. Dangerous in the suburbs. We need the Lord's protection. And, okay. So, put feet to our prayers. I'm just going to go quickly now. 9 and 10. And I say, if you ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and to him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Hey, you know what? Put feet to your prayers. Put feet to your prayers. Sometimes the Lord answers before we ask. And you and I, we've done this, right? You go, oh, the Lord answered. And the Lord said, huh? No, I didn't even pray about it, but I was thinking about it. Lord, and yes, I needed that. Thank you, Lord. He blessed me before I even asked. He blessed before I asked. Call unto me, I will answer thee, show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. But sometimes I haven't even asked, and He moves ahead of me and does a wonderful thing. And He does it for you too. But look, most often you're praying for somebody's salvation anywhere near you. Would you go give them the gospel? Cricket, cricket. Yeah, sometimes the Lord's like, you're the answer to prayer. Lord, this person that I work with, yeah, that's why you work there. I mean, you need to give them the gospel. You know what's the most delightful thing that happens to me? Because I want you to know, you won't believe it. Every preacher says this. I'm really not a thumb-sucking introvert, but I'm not an extrovert. I don't come out of my house and yell across the street to the neighbor, hey, how you doing? I wish I could. I wish it was me. It's not me. But every now and then, I find myself witnessing to someone, and there's nobody around, and God just moved on me, and I'm giving them the gospel, and I'm not out officially door-knocking, which is awesome and wonderful, and everyone ought to do it if your legs permit you to. As long as I'm healthy, I'm going to keep on going. But I find myself witnessing, and I'm thinking, this is what pleases God so much. So much. It's at a wedding reception, and I'm sitting at this table, and there's preachers I know over here and there, and I'm like, we're kind of with these strange people. I'm like, what were they thinking? Why'd they put it? Did you ever do that? Come on, be honest. And ends up, one of the guys connected to them is a Mormon. And so we got talking. I started giving him the gospel. Here, he'd been searching, and his Mormon elders told him, hit the road, Jack. Don't ask us any questions. And so he heard a Baptist preacher on the radio, Tioga County, Pennsylvania, and he called him, and the young preacher, he said, he's a young guy, but he was like, he's younger than me. I'm like, that's okay. Doesn't matter how young he is. He's a young preacher in his 20s. And he said he gave me answers that I could never get from my Mormon elders. And he's prayed and asked Christ to save him, but no one ever confirmed it. So now I'm talking with him and now sharing with him and encouraging him to go on. He already has visited that church. And wow, what a joy. What a blessing. Hey, put feet to your prayers and then trust our last section, 11 through 13. We don't trust our God. It hurts him. It offends him. Check it out. You've probably read this many times, but did you ever really listen to what Jesus is saying? If the Son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, now I'm picturing myself at the dinner table, Dad, could I have some bread? If the Son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? I'm like, hon, watch this. This is the funniest thing I've ever done. I've got this stone. It looks just like bread. Watch him break his teeth on it. She's like, hon, that's a little aggressive. That's a little bad. That's not too bad. And then he says, or if he shall ask an egg, we offer him a scorpion. That's really crazy. When they ask for that egg and you say, here, they go, ah! There's a scorpion running across the table. That's really exciting. I find that's one of the funniest things. My wife actually did that one. And we get our ideas from the Bible, right? And, the fish. I missed the fish. Yeah, the old snake. Well, I took my grandkids through some woods the other day. And there's snakes running. They were like 6 foot. I don't know what they were. Pop, get them. I'm like, look. This is represents that's a devil. Don't touch it. That's evil. But my granddaughter Riley, that's my son Dennis's daughter. She's running, grabbed this snake, no fear whatsoever. Probably going to be a great missionary. Her uncle's a missionary over in Ghana. So I don't know. I'm like, I'm a city guy. I'll fight Rocky Balboa, but I scream like a girl when a snake comes through. Oh my. She takes on it. You'll die. Come back, Riley. Oh. Now, this is really humbling, verse 13, and I'll be done. Jesus said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? A bonus point. We had 7 points. Throw in a bonus point. Pray for his power. I tell God all the time, I can't do this. You say, oh, pastoring's so hard. Forget pastoring. I can't live the Christian life. I need His power. I've got to have His strength. I can't do it. I must have His power. And you too. Hey, you know what? If we'll pray like we should, and I'm finished, it'll change our life. It'll change our family or continue to bless. It'll change our church or churches. And it'll change our nation. Something's happening right now. We have a respite. We have a Josiah moment. That's what I think. Something's happening. I don't know what's going on with the president. Did he get saved yet? Everyone around him saved. When the CIA director says we need Jesus Christ, our first Lord and Savior, I'm like, what? You're tapping my phone and you're saying that? Just a thought. Pray.
That's great. Beyond the humor and everything, you got to get the message. Let's bow our heads just for a second and think now. Seriously. Don't lose the moment. I've been saying, other preachers, I've heard it. One of the greatest hindrances to consistent Bible reading and prayer is people don't have a time or a place. That's more than half the battle, is having a time and a place. A time and a place. That's how I started the message. The Lord was in a certain place. You have a place. That place becomes holy. That spot. And yes, we can pray everywhere. We know that. But I'm talking about that place of consistent, faithful, devotional walk with God. To read your Bible so He can speak to you and to pray so you can speak to Him. And through the fun of the humor and the laughter, there was a little bit of a dagger in the heart. Where the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and says, ouch, I need to do better. I love what he said at the very end of the message. We need the power of God to be a pastor. How about just to be a good Christian? Take a moment. Speak to the Lord. Maybe you need to make some definite decision right there in your seat. I'm going to get a time. I'm going to get a place. If you're not used to praying consistently, you don't have to have 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper. Get you a quarter sheet of paper. Write some names on it. Be consistent. It'll grow. Father, I thank you for the message this morning from that wonderful text in John 3:16. And then we run to another familiar text in Luke chapter 11. There's nothing new. God, the old bell just needs to be rung and re-rung and re-rung and re-rung. It's been done this morning. My heart's full. Thank you. Forgive us, oh God. When Jesus began to teach his disciples, he didn't say, if ye pray. He said, when. It's expected. Help us all in this area to do better, be more consistent, put more heart in it. And thank you for the message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.